Hey, you know me. It's Dr. Cheryl Bryant Bruce, MD, the celebrity doc, and you are listening to Chatters That Matters. Let's talk about it. I am here with my special guest, Jen T. I am not your doctor, although I am a real MD. So remember, anything that you hear on the show tonight is to educate, inform, and entertain you. So if you hear anything that you think pertains to you, remember, I am not your doctor. Take that information to your own physician and just use it as information. Advice. It is not a doctor-patient contract between you and I. That being said, again, this show is here to educate, inform, and entertain you, and we hope that you take something out of it that you can use. Jen, welcome to Chatters That Matter.
Thank you very much, Cheryl. I'm very happy to be here.
And we're excited to have you. Jen is an amazing individual. She comes from New York, so she has all of that New Yorker strength in her. And she is a medical massage therapist, and she does lots of other really interesting things, and none other than Las Vegas, Nevada. So, Jen, tell us about your business. Tell us what you're doing in Las Vegas, and tell us what makes you tick.
So I am the founder and owner of a business called Flow Massage Therapy. I myself am a medical intuitive and a medical and sports massage therapist. What does that all mean? It's not your usual go to the spa, sort of massage. I actually feel things through your body, discuss what ails you today, 10 years ago, 20 years ago. And I discuss how your lifestyle helps to promote your good existence day to day, as pain-free as possible. I tell all my clients, we teach first, heal second. And the reason being is, when we can bring awareness to what's going on in your body, as well as the clues that your body gives you, you too can be a professional at managing your day-to-day health needs.
Okay,
So many, so go ahead.
that's really, really interesting. I like this whole idea of the intuitive healing because, certainly we each bring something with us, and everything that we've experienced in the past impacts on our health. And to have you be an intuitive, you're not just putting a band-aid on a wound. You're getting to the source of that wound so that you can heal it. Tell
That's
us how
right.
you do that.
Well, everything I do is based in science. Everything I do is based in science. Okay. And just like a geologist who goes out and looks like at a pile of rocks and a shovel full of dirt, they can tell through the layers who's been there, what's been there, and how it's been there. Okay. And so I've been trained, to read the body in many different ways. Sure, there's an intuitive element to it. Also, there's a scientific basis for all of it. I recently was introduced to a woman by her husband, and he said, "My wife just has a lot of issues. She's always in pain. She has diminished lifestyle, she can't do anything." I said, "Show me her picture." So he showed me her picture, and she was turned like maybe a quarter away from the camera. Her face was not head on. It was more like this. And even in that quarter turn, I was like, "What's wrong with her right eye? What's wrong with her face? What's wrong with her hip? what's wrong with their shoulder. Because when you look at a body, really look at your body, you can see differences in symmetry, you can see differences in size, you can see differences in reaction. All of this comes together. So when I finally met his wife, I said, were there any sort of traumatic issues in your life? And she goes, well, when I was 11, I was riding a horse in a ring, and I was just sitting there with my horse waiting to do something. And all of a sudden, a runaway horse came up behind her in a split second and slammed its skull into her back.
Wow.
Yes. I said, oh, wow. And then at 13, she was thrown from a horse, did not break her neck, but landed on the right side of her cervical spine and on her shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
Full force. So when I looked at her, I said, you realize you probably had a traumatic brain injury and a concussion that were undiagnosed and untreated. And so therefore, 30 years later, this is what happens. So what I do is I go look for all the band-aids that our bodies have put in place to help us and to keep us safe. Over the years, though, those band-aids become shackles. They become a straitjacket. They turn into concrete.
Mm-hmm.
They become immovable. And I go in to gently ease that tension, to gently ease the edges of the band-aid off, and also to gently reveal the fresh, new, healthy tissue that grew beneath the band-aids.
Mm-hmm.
And then I teach each client how to maintain it so that their body can reset almost back to the manufacturer's, you know, settings, right? Almost. And can retrain themselves into greater range of motion, greater circulation, and more mobility.
Okay. All right. So I'm going to digress a little bit from that. How did you get into this area?
Well, I come from a family of doctors, mm-hmm. all right? And all through my education, the expectation was that I was going to go to med school.
Mm-hmm.
But after university, I got an offer I couldn't refuse, and that was to go to New York City, work for a big, big bank, and travel the world. And I was like, hell yeah. So when my father came to me with an application for med school, I said, Dad, I took another job. Okay. And although he was initially disappointed, he was like, okay, that's fine. That's fine. So I went to Wall Street and was trained as an investment banker. And I spent 25 years there. But my love of learning and my love of science never left me.
Okay.
Never, never left me. And even though I was working on Wall Street, I was still practicing to the best of my abilities, holistic situations to better my own health and or to share with people in my community.
Were you happy on Wall Street?
I was very happy on Wall Street. The only job in the world where, one, they taught me what to do. Two, I traveled the world on their dime. Three, I had the best places you can imagine. Four, they paid me to talk on the phone 24/7 and pay my phone bill.
Okay. Nothing wrong with that.
That's pretty darn good, right?
Yes.
That's a lot of expenses right there,
yes,
taken out.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, as with all things, it comes to a close and life starts to show you that there are different chapters out there for you.
Mm-hmm.
And a different chapter opened when I got sick. And I got sick with breast cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And so now I had to really put words into action. And start to walk the walk versus just talk the talk. Because when I had breast cancer, the radiation treatment really devastated me. I laid in bed for close to 2 years without very much energy or ability to do much, let alone think, let alone walk, nothing. And it was through holistic practices as well as holistic remedies that brought me out of that fog and darkness and lack of energy back to a different person who I am today. And it just changed my point of view. Now, mind you, I had left Wall Street and was looking for something else, but I didn't quite know what that something else was. And it literally took me 10 years of walking from one job to another job to another job to another job to finally get that aha moment. And that aha moment came almost 10 years later after I'd left Wall Street, when I was working at an adult daycare, a bilingual adult daycare. And a woman came up to me and she said, "Hey, would you touch me here?" And I said, "Hey, okay, there you go." Next day, somebody else came, "Hey, would you touch me here?" And I'm like, "Hey, okay, I'll touch you here." By the third day, I was like, "What the hell is going on?" So I went back to the first woman and I said, "Girl, what are you telling people?" And she said, "When you touch me, I feel better." The light bulb went off. The next day, I went and checked out classes for massage school. And within a week, I had enrolled in night classes to be a massage therapist. And while I was in massage school, I met some really, really amazing people and a mentor named Toby. And she just challenged me. She said, "Try this, try this, try this, try this. Go explore this. Go do this. Don't you realize there's so much more to blah, 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 blah?" And one day she came to me and said, "You know what? You need to check out these courses. You would really thrive with this." And I was like, okay. So my first day taking a class with John Barnes called Myofascial Release, within the first 5 minutes, he answered all the questions and filled in all the holes that I had found in massage therapy.
Right.
And I was like, "Oh my God, this is it." And I started studying the modality of myofascial release through him and some of his other colleagues. And then I started practicing it with some of my most difficult clients. And I found that I was able to change and make a difference with some of my really chronic clients more easily and more quickly. And with good results, with very good results, you know, it became an economic hazard. What do I mean by an economic hazard? I don't have regular clients. I only have one regular client. And the only reason why I have this regular client is because he's decided over the next few years, he's going to summit 7 or 8 of the highest peaks in the world on every continent.
How interesting.
So when I said to him, "Hey, you know, I've taught you how to do this, so you really don't need me, you know, to massage you." He said, "Look, I work 40 hours a week. I work out 30 hours a week. I have to take care of my kid at least 20 hours a week. And all I want you for is 2 hours a week to make me feel good. Plus, I like your energy. Get over here." And I was like, "Okay, deal. That's not a problem." But when I have clients, I typically do not keep them for more than 3 months because I teach them what to do. So if they are aware and if they pay attention, when I teach them what to do, they just go do it. And maybe they come back to me once every 3 months, once every 4 months. So I'm constantly in search of new clients.
Right.
Because they fix themselves.
Right.
And we move on. Mm-hmm. Like just before this call, I have a client who lifted a bad box, the box that was too heavy, and pulled something. And she was frantic. I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm like, it's so much pain and blah. And she even took some painkillers and they didn't work. And I said to her, get in this position. Take deep breaths, hold it, and put a heating pad on it. And her body started to calm down. Mm-hmm. That's it. Her body started to calm down. Mm-hmm. So when this woman at the adult daycare center said, you know, when you touch me, I feel better, that light bulb went off at the top of my head, and I realized that I had actually come full circle, that I had not gone to med school, but I had gone into a different med school.
Yes. Yes.
And more on the alternative side as opposed to the allopathic side.
Mm-hmm.
And I could just hear my father, God rest his soul, like sigh, a huge sigh of relief, like, okay, finally you're back on your path, right?
Right.
And I could hear my paternal grandmother go, hee-hee-hee-hee-hee-hee, I always knew you were going to do this, you know, that sort of thing.
Yes.
Because she took care of the family using ancient Chinese medicine. You know,
yes.
It wasn't regular Western medicine.
Mm-hmm.
And when I decided to go down that path, when my teacher and mentor Toby said, go check out myofascial release, it actually changed my life and changed my practice. And now I do myofascial release almost 80% of the time.
Now, Jen, can you define the difference between just typical physical therapy and myofascial release?
Okay. So physical therapists work on functionality.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, can you bend your elbow? Can you lift your shoulder? Can you twirl your wrist? This is what they are concerned with. Movement. I'm concerned with the soft tissue that connects your wrist to everything else, mm-hmm. that connects your elbow to everything else,
yes,
that connects your shoulder to everything else. I could look at you and you tell me that you have tennis elbow.
Yes.
I could look at you and say, your left knee is off. Your right hip is higher. Your cervical spine is asymmetrical and your left eye is too small. And what do I mean by that? Those are observations that if I were to put a pair of pantyhose on somebody, that pair of pantyhose would show restrictions,
mm-hmm.
and difficulties in movement at those areas that I have just mentioned.
Right.
And when you see all of those restrictions in a pair of pantyhose that are not smooth, then it's no wonder that it's pulling on your elbow because everything is connected. And I always say this to people, back in the day, we had 30-foot long telephone cords. After a while of walking around, that 30-foot cord becomes a ball. And it's a ball full of tightness and restrictions from overuse or misuse. And the only that is you have to find the end that releases everything.
Right.
And so that's what I do. I go find the ends that end up releasing soft tissue through the body so that the whole body can move with greater range of motion, not a body part.
Right.
So that's the difference between me and a physical therapist. Me and a chiro works strictly on the anatomy. They don't learn anything about soft tissue.
Right.
Okay. That sort of thing. Right. And an orthopedic person works on disease, works on injury, but they're not necessarily working the whole system. Once again, it's the focus on body part.
Yes.
I'm trying to realign the whole system.
Right. So as you're doing your work, you're looking at things that we may have brought with us from the past, even though you may have been contacted about an acute injury. The acute injury may not be the real problem.
Exactly. Exactly. And the reason being is trauma lives in the body.
Yes.
And that trauma can choose to be wherever it is as a lesson to you. Okay. The Chinese always say, we are given the disease or we are given the difficulty that we need in order to become better people. Okay. So, for example, I'm a diabetic. Diabetes is all about the sweetness of life, right? So why do I have diabetes? I have diabetes because what am I not seeing that's sweet about life? What am I not seeing? What am I not acknowledging?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And that's been a question that I have been working on, studying, trying to understand for myself for over 10 years. Okay. And it has really brought me to very interesting places. So 10 years ago, I was an uncontrolled diabetic taking over 300 units of insulin. Now I am more controlled diabetic taking 20 units of insulin.
Okay.
With the goal of bringing it back down to zero.
Okay.
Okay. So
and
a lot
will
of
do it.
And I will do it. And my endocrinologist believes in me as well as my GP.
And that's important. That's something that I want to bring out to our audience is that when you are working with providers on any health issue or even on wellness, you have to connect with a provider that believes in you and that sees where you're trying to go. You know, you have a vision of where you want to be, but your provider can't see it, then you're probably with the wrong provider. And if your provider doesn't believe in you, if you believe that you can cure yourself or that you can manage a problem and your provider is like, nah, I don't think so. You know, we need to take an entire pharmacy of pills and you're going to be on these pills for the rest of your life. Probably you need to either seek a second opinion or a third or a fourth, or you may just need to get a new provider who is willing to work with you to let you and your body heal, because the body has the capability. I mean, we're just technicians. The body has the capability. We've been given that capability to self-heal if we do the right things for the body.
I totally agree with you, Cheryl. And if I might add the following, you know your body best.
Absolutely.
Do not allow somebody else to tell you you're crazy.
Absolutely.
Do not allow others to tell you that you don't know what's going on. Do your homework, okay? Do your homework and make sure that every choice you make is for the best of you and nobody else. And if somebody chooses not to support you, guess what? There are others out there who will. And when they do, it makes a huge difference.
And so that being said, you know, you talked about your journey with the diabetes. You want to roll back a little bit and talk about your journey with the breast cancer. You talk, I mean, as an intuitive, you understand past like trauma and things like that. What do you think it was that put you at risk for developing that breast cancer? And is there anything that you would do differently in terms of management for our audience? What would you tell people in terms of management that might make them less likely to go down that path of developing breast cancer?
Well, prevention is everything.
Yes.
Is everything. You have to be diligent about your body from every ache to every pain. You need to know yourself 100% at all times. Okay. And having said that, it's so funny. My father was a radiologist, and his specialty was breast cancer.
Okay.
So at a very, very young age, when I developed breasts, he taught me how to check my breasts. And we would check my breasts on a regular basis, my sister and myself, with my father. Nothing unusual about that. But when he passed away, I stopped checking in on me.
Now, you stopped checking in on you. Was that because you no longer had that guidance, that someone poking you saying, check in on you? Or was that a reaction to your grief?
It's just something that I forgot.
Okay.
Not so much a reaction to grief. It's something that I had forgotten.
Right.
And I was reminded of it later on. Once again, very, very interesting circumstances. And this is how life steps in and leads you. I was diagnosed with breast cancer in Seattle. I had moved to Seattle from New York after having changed jobs. And when I moved to Seattle, 180 degrees away from New York, I had changed my life. You know, I was eating a lot healthier. I was doing a lot of athletic activities. I was in really, really great shape. What your audience needs to know, that when I was an investment banker in New York, it was not uncommon for me to get very severe bronchitis once a year and be bedridden for about 2 weeks on the verge of pneumonia.
Okay.
And that was a reaction from stress. Okay. But when I had moved to Seattle, a lot of that stress was left behind.
And just, I'm going to stop you there for a second, just to explain to the audience. She said a lot of that was a reaction to stress. And the way that that works is that stress weakens the immune system.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So when I moved to Seattle, I wasn't so stressed. I did everything right. Yet on one snowy day, I am walking back from a football game, the Seattle Seahawks and stuff. And I started coughing. And I'm like, this doesn't feel right.
Okay.
So I went to the doctor and he told me I had bronchitis. And I was like, whoa, that's really kind of weird. So I said to him, let's do a full physical. And in that full physical, they found that lump in my breast, the same lump that my father and I had been feeling and moving around for decades.
Wow.
And And when he brought it up, he goes, oh, let's just check it out. This is, now, mind you, this is routine. Okay. Yes. And I know this doctor, Dr. Kelly White.
Yes.
And he's like, ah, it's just routine. Let's just go look at it and see what it is and all that kind of stuff. And I said, okay, that's not a problem. So I go through the different channels. In going through all the different channels, I get a phone call. I'm living in Seattle. I get a phone call from my headhunter in New York. Jen, I'm calling everybody I know. Ian, why? Because my wife was just diagnosed with breast cancer, and I want to make sure that all of you get screening and make sure you get a sonogram, not just a mammogram. Make sure you get a sonogram. Promise me you'll do that. And I said, sure, I'll do that. Not a problem. Get off the phone, hang up. All of a sudden, I get a phone call 2 days later, my girlfriend in Australia. Jen, what the hell is the matter with you? And I said, did I offend you? She goes, no, I woke up this morning and something is wrong. I don't know what it is.
Wow, the universe was speaking to you.
So I'm like, whatever. I'll let you know if something comes up. Hang up. I go back to see my doctor and he gets the results of all my tests. And he goes, look, they want to do a biopsy on your little thing in your breast. You know, it's just routine, not a big deal. And he said to me, it looks benign, so let's just take a look at it. And I said, okay, fine. So I go off and I get the biopsy, not a big deal. And mind you, up until this point, everybody's cool.
Mm-hmm.
When I go back and the results are still benign, I said, okay, that's fine. We're done, right? And he goes, no, we're not done. I said, what? He goes, I want you to take it out. I want us to be sure. And I looked at him, I said, Kelly, you just told me it was benign. What are we taking out? Is this like extraneous surgery? What are we doing? He goes, no, Jen, you are getting it out.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go find your surgeon, blah, 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 blah. 1 month later, I had it out. And what was supposed to be benign and routine turned out to be cancer.
Okay.
They checked, the pathologist checked, the nodule while I was under, and they had clean margins. And when I woke up, the surgeon said, guess what? We took it all out. Guess what? You're going in for radiation tomorrow.
Wow. Well, thank goodness for Kelly.
Well, I'm not done with the story yet. When I went for a checkup with Kelly 2 months later, I looked at him and said, Kelly, why were you so pushy in getting me to take it out? Because a few months earlier, you were like, yeah, whatever, it's routine. And then you were so pushy at the end. And he goes to me, Jen T. I'm like, yep. And he goes, I am sitting there in bed and you know my wife. And I said, yeah, I know your wife. She's, you know, we're best friends. And he goes, well, I never discuss cases with her, and especially yours, okay? Because it's just HIPAA compliance and all that. Right, I said, right. Yeah, so what? And she goes, I'm sitting there reading a book you had given me. And when I'm reading that book, she's half asleep next to me. She rolls over and says, Kelly, I just dreamt that Jen T had breast cancer. Then she yawned and rolled over. And there he was left sitting, reading the book I had given him in disbelief at what she had just said.
Mm-hmm.
And the next day I was there to see him. And he wasn't going to let me leave without a date with a surgeon.
Mm-hmm.
So I had three messengers.
Absolutely.
Who came my way. And seriously potentially save my life.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because if not, arrogance would have taken over and I would be, I could be dead.
Absolutely.
I really could have been dead. So, mm-hmm. So I've learned to listen to your intuition. I've learned that messages come from all different places. Mm-hmm. I've learned to pay attention, because if you really pay attention, you will know what to do.
Yes.
And there
is, if you really pay attention, you'll hear the whispers.
Exactly. And there is a balance between Western and alternative medicine.
Yes, and there is.
We as people have the choice of using one or the other and or a combination that is particularly effective for each and every one of us.
Mm-hmm.
And that was my big lesson. That's what I learned. And so in my massage practice, I look for the restrictions. I look for the obstacles that would keep your body from functioning at its highest level.
Mm-hmm.
And I try to take away those roadblocks. And I teach you how to take away those roadblocks to be a better you, to live a better you.
Right, right. Now, are there any clients that you won't accept?
Yes. It's challenging to work with people who don't believe mm-hmm. in themselves.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everybody always says, how badly do you want it? That's the same thing I say to them. How badly do you want it?
Mm-hmm.
What is it worth to you to be well? What is your goal? Whether it be to dance at somebody's wedding or play with your grandchildren, whatever. What is it worth to them? And based upon their motivation, I can pretty much tell how long it's going to take.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So lack of motivation, disinterest, disbelief, and somebody who is not willing to collaborate. They're not good partners with me, because because there's nothing I can do to change their attitude. And if their attitude can't change, their bodies won't change.
Mm-hmm. Now, the flip side of that question for our listeners and for anybody who's interested in working with Jen, who is your ideal client? Who is the client that you're going to work with them and you are going to get just amazing results?
I'm looking for people who want answers.
Mm-hmm.
I want people who are on a quest to learn the most they can about their health situation. Mm-hmm. I want to work with people who've been rejected by Western medicine and told that they should go see a psychiatrist. Okay. I want to prove them to be more sane than those health providers who pushed them away.
Right.
Okay. Because like Steve Jobs says, it's the crazies that actually get the job done.
Right. Right.
Okay. And so
the crazies are a superpower too.
Crazies are superpower too. And I just feel that that passion can be directed towards themselves, their health, and finding the life that they've always wanted to live.
I think that's a big key, because we all have a life that we want to live, even if we're not even aware of what that is, because a lot of people are just putting one foot in front of the other, and they're kind of swimming around with no goals and no vision. But somewhere dark in the recesses, there is a life that they want to live that they may not even see or may not even imagine, because we're all here for a purpose. We all have a purpose. And some people don't even realize that they're looking for their purpose. So for those people who can't see their purpose, who can't see their vision, it's not that they don't believe in themselves, but that they just can't even see. You're a slap them upside the head kind of gal. You know, you give folks the wake-up call. What do you do with that person?
I start small.
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe in overwhelming.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I may look put together, but it took me over 10 years to get here. Okay? So I was no different than a blubbering fool for many, many years.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But what changed for me was I stopped talking and I started listening to myself.
Yes.
Okay. I stopped looking and I started finding from within. Okay. Yes. I stopped blaming and started to take account for my choices.
Say that one again, because that's huge. That really is huge. And it's something that all of us need to do.
Okay, I stopped blaming and I started taking account for my choices.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's really huge for me. Because I distinctly remember thinking, oh, well, blah, 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 did this to him, blah, 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 did, blah, 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 did that, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, wait a minute. What was your part in this?
That part.
You didn't want to go to that party. You didn't want to hang out at that cocktail. You didn't want to do this. You didn't want to do that. So you put yourself in there. And then when you got in there, you stood out there and go, hey, I'm over here. Come shoot me. Right? So it was about being accountable to my decisions.
Mm-hmm.
And wrong or right, to be accountable to them. And just to know that I have fungible boundaries,
uh-huh.
But those boundaries are still there for a reason.
Right.
They're there to make sure that I do and I am what I want to be and do, as opposed to me allowing myself to be dragged from here, there, and everywhere, and then wondering, why am I so tired? So I put my efforts and my energies into things that and situations that are good for me,
mm-hmm.
as opposed to, hey, let me just follow the crowd and do this and do that. I don't do that. I don't.
Now,
do
something that.
That
you said a minute ago, I really liked. You said, wrong or right, I have to be accountable. And I think that there is a big statement in there, because so many people, they know where they should be and they know where they want to go and they even know how to get there, but they're afraid to be accountable for the right. They're afraid of the success and the accountability that comes with that success. So I think that's real important that, you know, you have to, do you need a little time here?
Nope.
Okay. Yep. I think it's really important that not only do you have to be accountable for the wrong, but you have to be accountable for the right and recognize the difference and recognize everything that comes with it and the responsibility of both.
Very true. I would add one more thing.
Mm-hmm.
That at times, that fear comes from doubt. That fear comes from lack of self-value. That fear mm-hmm. comes from feeling like an imposter. That fear comes from many different things.
Yes.
And being able to recognize what you're afraid of, being able to call it out and say, I'm afraid because of specifically this.
Yes.
Is an important learning experience, because everything you've described, I have gone through, and it falls under the category of self-sabotage.
Yes, absolutely. Okay.
And so as I started calling myself out, why do you feel this way? Why do you feel this way about that person? Did that person really do something? Blah, 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 blah. You know, are you making this shit up?
Mm-hmm.
Or does this have a basis in fact? Because mm-hmm. most of the time we make stuff up.
Right.
Okay. So you need to find a little wood, piece of wood to knock on to make sure that you're doing the right thing.
Right.
Okay. And so I try to live right here, right mm-hmm. here in the present, not here. Right here, I have peers and good friends around me who can say, oh, Jen, that's a fist. Don't shake it at anybody. They'll think something's wrong with you, right? But mm-hmm. If I leave everything up in here, there's too much gray matter here for me to make stuff up that
yes.
isn't true. And then there's nobody up here to check it except me.
Right.
And that's not a good thing.
I totally agree.
It's all good. It's mm-hmm. all good. So it's a process, and it's a process that I went through for 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Checking the imposter syndrome, checking the self-sabotage, checking all of that until I exhausted myself. And I'm like, oh God, just be you.
Yes. You're good enough. You're always good enough.
You're always good enough, but just be you. Okay. And if it's not good enough for somebody else, okay. 3 billion people in the world. Next. Okay. Okay. I don't need other people's approval.
Exactly. You know,
that sort of thing. So it's really, really worked out. The last few years since COVID has been eye-opening for me.
It's eye-opening for a lot of people in a lot of ways, but it slowed the world down enough for us to actually take time with ourselves and introspect and hear the whispers.
I absolutely agree. All I could think of during COVID was this. If I told you that money wasn't an object and that you could do anything you wanted, all you had to do was do it,
mm-hmm.
and you had all the time in the world, would you? And so COVID asked that question of everybody.
Yes.
If time wasn't an issue and money weren't an issue, and you had a project that you wanted to fulfill, would you?
How many books were written during COVID?
Right. How many books, all of this, all of that. But for me, my business expanded. From a downturn, my business expanded.
Yes.
So I just took advantage of the quietness and of the fear factor that everybody else was going through. And I just went ahead full steam.
Yes.
So it was great.
It's been amazing for you. It's been amazing for you, but it's also been amazing for your clients.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Now, one question, and we'll kind of start wrapping it up. One question that I'm always cognizant of when we talk about intuitives, how do you protect yourself from the bad energy that someone else may bring? And what advice do you give to people in our audience who are in contact with bad energy that's just draining them? How do you cope with that? How do you deal with that?
The easy thing for me to say is run away.
That's a good answer. That's really a good answer.
Okay, so this is how I do it. I have various times of the day that I ground myself. One way for me to do it is I have four rescue dogs who I love dearly and they love me. So in between clients, I come home and I sit with them quietly. And we take a nap or we take a little siesta, but I sit with them quietly and I pet them. They come and snuggle with me, different things like that. That's one grounding situation. The second grounding situation is I'm an avid gardener. So yes. I'm out in nature in my backyard. I'm planting flowers. My hands are in the dirt. I'm checking on my roses. I'm doing this. I'm just working with my plants and I'm working with nature.
Yes.
That's number two. Number three is this. I trust my gut. And let me take one step back. There are three different energetic centers in our bodies. Okay. This is the way I review it.
Right.
Our brain is made up of very many times volatile, uncontrollable energy, like lightning storms.
Yes.
Okay. Our hearts are very magnetic. You've heard of heart's desires, right?
Right, right.
When you truly believe from the heart, it becomes a magnet attracting what you need to you.
Yes.
It's effortless. Our gut is intuitive. It's very ambient. What do I mean by ambient? If our gut had an aura, an energetic cloud that would envelop us, it could feel the incongruent energies from somebody else and give you a fast reading, whether it be a stomach ache, whether it be like a sharp pain. I make it a point of never eating with people who I'm iffy with or who I know don't like me.
Right.
Because when I sit down and eat with them, their energies go through the food and actually make me sick.
Right.
So I trust my gut and I politely pull away, or I politely suggest somebody else. I do say no. And that's important. That's the boundaries we have to keep. Otherwise, we abuse our energy. and therefore abuse ourselves.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So if you have one major take home to give to our listeners, what would that one major take home be?
The power is in your hands. Believe in yourself. And you can make all the difference in the world. Maya Angelou said, people may hear what you say. Well, no, hold on a second. People may forget what you said. People may forget what you did. But people will never forget how you made them feel.
Exactly.
That is my final takeaway.
Exactly. And Jen, you make people feel empowered. So
empowered and pain-free, hopefully.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Tell our listeners how they can get in touch with you.
You can go to my website, www.flowmassage.info. And flow is spelled F-L-O-W, massage.info. Or you can Google Flow Massage Therapy in Las Vegas, and you'll find me.
And we will have Jen's contact information at the bottom of the show with the descriptor. So if you forget that, you always know that you can reach out to Hurricane or myself, and we'll be sure that we put you in touch with Jen. And definitely, if you're in the Las Vegas area and you're having pain and you need someone to really get to the heart of it, not just put a Band-Aid on it, then be sure to reach out, because she's a master at what she does. And
I can also do things via Zoom.
Yes. And Jen, I mean, we just so appreciate you being here with us, and we definitely will want to bring you back and explore all of this, you know, explore the myofascial, explore the intuitiveness. You bring a lot to the table, and I know that there's a lot more that you do, and we can see all of the books behind you. We know that you're just a treasure trove of information, so we would love to have you back to join us.
Thank you very much, Cheryl. I would be very, very happy to come back.
Thank you. And for all of our listeners, thank you for listening to the show. Remember, if you getting value, hit those likes, leave a message, ask a question. Above all, make sure that you share and make sure you come back. You have been listening to Chatters That Matter. Let's talk about it. Our motto is health is wealth, and you are your greatest asset. Invest in yourself. We're here every Monday and Wednesday night at 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on all of your platforms, whether you're on Roku, YouTube, Apple TV, coming in from Instagram, if you're listening on the radio, Spotify, all of the platforms you can find us, 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, Monday, Wednesday. Make sure you come and join us. Chatters That Matter, let's talk about it. And I am Dr. Cheryl Bryant-Bruce, the celebrity doc.
Chatters That Matter, Let's Talk About It is a fantastic show that delves into the crux of what ails you, whether it be physical, mental, emotional, metaphysical, whatever ails you, it provides the beginnings of your journey towards wellness, towards health, and living your best life. Dr. Cheryl is amazing, and she is a wonderful host who's well-versed in all these subjects, and then again some.